Chapter 9. One morning, immediately after we had passed the deserted village, we started hearing something like the roar of big engines, the rolling of metal drums on a tar road, a thunder exploding, roll after roll. All these sounds reached our ears simultaneously. We hurriedly deviated from the path, running into the bushes and lying on the ground. We searched one another's faces for an explanation of the strange sound. Even Kene, who sometimes had answers, couldn't tell us what we were hearing. We all looked at him and his face contorted with confusion. "We have to find out what it is, or we can't continue on to Yile," Kene whispered, and then began to crawl toward the sound. We followed him, quietly dragging our bodies on rotten leaves. As we got closer, the sound intensified and a heavy breeze shook the trees above us. We could clearly see the blue sky but nothing else. Kene hesitantly sat on his heels and surveyed the area. "It is just water. Lots of it. And sand. Lots of it." Kene was still looking. "What is making the noise then?" Alaji asked. "All I am looking at is water and sand," Kene replied, and then waved to us to come closer and take a look. We sat on our heels for a while, looking in different directions, trying to locate what was making the sound. Without saying anything to us, Kene crawled out of the bushes and started walking on the sand toward the water. It was the Atlantic Ocean. The sound we had heard were those of the waves hitting the shore. I had seen parts of the ocean but had never stood at the shore of one this vast. It spread out beyond the vision of my eyes. The sky was at its bluest and seemed to curve down and join with the ocean in the distance. My eyes widened, a smile forming on my face. Even in the middle of the madness, there remained that true and natural beauty, and it took my mind away from my current situation as I marveled at this sight. We walked closer and sat at the edge of the sand and stared at the ocean, admiring the display of waves in succession. They came in three folds. The first was small but powerful enough to break a person's leg. The second was high and more powerful than the first, and the third was a spectacle. It rolled and rose higher than the shoreline as it moved forward. We ran away from where we sat. The wave hit the shore so hard that it sent sand particles flying up in the sky. When we went back to look, the waves had thrown out unwanted flotsam from the ocean, including some big crabs that I guess weren't strong enough to cling to the ocean floor, but they were still alive. It was a calm walk along the sand, since we didn't expect trouble in this part of the country. We chased and wrestled each other in the sand, played somersault and running games. We even bundled up Elijah's old shirt and tied a rope around it to make a soccer ball. We then played a game, and each time one of us scored a goal, he would celebrate with a sukus dance. We shouted, laughed, and sang our secondary school songs. We started walking on the sandy beach early in the morning and saw the sunrise. At midday, we saw a cluster of huts ahead and raced each other toward them. When we arrived there, we suddenly became worried. There was no one in the village. Mortars lay in the sand, rice spilling out of them. Jerry cans leaked water, and fires were left unattended under cooking huts. Our first guess was that the rebels might have been there. Before we could think of anything else, fishermen sprang from behind huts with machetes, fishing spears, and nets in their hands. We were so shocked by this sudden uproar that none of us was able to run. Instead, we shouted, "Please, we're harmless and just passing by," in every possible one of the 18 local languages that each of us knew. The fishermen jabbed us with the flat edges of their weapons until we fell on the ground. They sat on top of us, tied our hands, and took us to their chief. The villagers had heard a rumor that some young people believed to be rebels were heading their way. Upon hearing this, they had armed themselves and hid, waiting to defend their homes and protect their families. This should not have been a big shock to us, but we didn't expect it to happen here, since we thought we were now far from home. They asked us several questions along the lines of where we were from, where we were going, and why did we choose that direction. Alhaji, the tallest among us, and sometimes mistaken for the oldest, tried to explain to the chief that we were just passing by. Afterward, the men yanked our torn crepes off our feet, untied us, and chased us out of their village, waving their spears and machetes and screaming after us.